If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
No, I mean, we're doing this because we think we have a constitutional duty to do it. We think that this is what the founding fathers looked at when they said, how do we deal with a president who has abused his power, who has dramatically overreached, who has gone off track? And they came to the conclusion you couldn't wait 4 years. And that's why this is so serious, so solemn, so grave.
Oh, my goodness. Chuck Schumer right there. That was, and Mitch McConnell actually just literally minutes ago just finished speaking. And, of course, today they're kicking off impeachment. It's impeachment. Yeah, we're going to cover it. Welcome to the show. I sound so excited, right? I sound so incredibly excited about it because we've been talking about this forever, right? And finally they're doing it. But I really like what McConnell said, and we're going to go back to that. But Chuck Schumer kicking off the impeachment trial. Senate is in a short recess right now and will be coming back in. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. And we're going to go through all of this and cover the latest with it because it's this whole thing. I mean, at some point it gets, they fight and argue over the piddliest little stuff, little things. And it makes it so much of this is partisan, and then it purposefully just seems so convoluted to everyone who's simply trying to follow what is happening in their government. So Mitch McConnell, he also spoke to, and like I said, we'll get some audio of that because he literally just finished. But welcome to the show at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. And of course, you can stream the show live 3 hours on YouTube and Facebook. And don't forget to check out Channel 248 on Pluto TV via the new network, The First. So, and there's a new content up at danaradio.com as well for you. So a few things to jump into with all of this. So Mitch McConnell, when he spoke, and I think he made a very good point on this, because he was mentioning specifically, first, there's two things that Democrats are just having to fit on. And the first is the rules package. Now, before they even start this damn thing, they have to argue and agree upon the rules that they will follow to start said damn thing. And that is where we are. So they've been going back and forth over what the guidelines, essentially, how they're going to handle this and how all of this is going to go. Now, the problem is that obviously Democrats think that they're the ones who get to make the rules in the Senate. And they've been trying to lecture the Senate on this, which was why McConnell got a little bit testy when he was speaking. And he was saying, look, no one's going to tell the Senate how to do this. No one's going to tell the Senate how they should operate. And so as of right now, I think McConnell has the votes to do it. Everyone was kind of looking at Mitt Romney. I'm singing Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney. Let's just call everyone McConnell at this point. But a lot of people were wondering about Mitt Romney because he's been a little bit, and by a little bit, I mean very generous. He's been a little antagonistic towards the administration. And I think that there was some thought, particularly amongst Democrats and definitely a lot of pundits, that Romney was just going to make things difficult. But because you can't, I think, what, two or three votes McConnell can't afford to lose. And so right now, Democrats are heavily targeting Susan Collins. And I've been seeing a lot of this online because they usually, so Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins have always typically been the weakest links for McConnell in the Republican Senate. And they're the ones who get, you remember how they were heavily targeted during Kavanaugh, right? And in fact, Susan Collins was, she was kind of on the brink and no one exactly knew what she was going to do. And I think ultimately just the nastiness with which Democrats went at this, that cost them those, the Murkowski and Collins. Do you all remember the photograph that went around of Dianne Feinstein? She was kind of cornering Murkowski in the Senate hallway, and it looked as though she was lecturing her, and Murkowski just looked totally fed up. Well, I really think that that just burnt any bridges that there were, and I don't think that Collins or Murkowski, I don't think that they're going to so easily get over how Democrats trashed them because they voted in favor of Kavanaugh. And so they're targeting Collins particularly very hard. And I think what there was a, I saw some pictures on Twitter where people were, they put her, a video of her on some sort of van, or a truck, and they were driving around the Capitol, and they were trying to say that the Collins of today, by way of voting to support Trump or supporting Trump in the impeachment, is contradicting Collins of the 90s when she was all about impeaching Bill Clinton. Except that, you know, obviously that comparison ignores some pretty significant things, namely the biggest of which was there was a criminal charge that went along with the Clinton impeachment. Now, you could say it was a process charge and you'd be correct. And you could say, well, it's petty to go after a process charge. But I would imagine if that Democrats were able to get Trump on a process charge, that would be good enough for them, right? So you have to be consistent with this. A criminality is criminality. There was a criminal charge associated with the impeachment. So there's a huge difference right there. He lied under oath. He was trying to hide his actions. And it's always the cover-up that's worse than the crime. The whole situation with Lewinsky and Paula Jones and all of that, I think he settled with Jones, but with Lewinsky, it was consensual, although you could say he was definitely abusing his power and trying to influence an impressionable, at the time, impressionable young intern. But there was criminality associated with this. He had been acting, and it all stemmed from the Whitewater investigation, in which there were pretty legitimate assertions of financial impropriety and criminal action. And so as a result, there was actually something to go after in that case. Where it concerns Trump, there isn't any kind of criminal charge. And all of the accusations of impropriety, you know, when I was listening to Chuck Schumer just this morning, well, just a little bit ago, this afternoon, and he was saying, well, he used his position, talking of Trump, to influence a foreign state, except the head of the foreign state and their numerous members of that, I guess, for their equivalent of the kitchen cabinet for Zelensky, was that there was nothing actually withheld and they were not even aware of any sort of quid pro quo. So they've never been able to, they say all of this stuff, but they have nothing to support it. And then they're aggravated because the Senate won't immediately confirm their accusations by substituting bias for evidence. They had every opportunity during their House investigation to talk to every single person that actually was privy to the conversation. And instead, what they did was they brought in a bunch of progressive Constitution law professors to lecture everyone. And these individuals had no idea of what had happened. They had no relation to the incident in question. They weren't first, second, or third hand. Everything that they learned about the conversation either was from the media or from the Democrat Party, and that was it. And so how in the world is that supposed to stand as credible evidence? It isn't. It's rhetorical. So they didn't do their job. And now they're mad at the Senate because the Senate now won't call other individuals up. And Schumer kept saying, well, you know, there's new information, there's new evidence. There isn't any new evidence. First off, there's not any evidence. And there's nothing new. I mean, for crying out loud, you guys tried. You gave it the good college try, but you came up with nothing. So that's where we're at right now. It's insane. So then McConnell spoke and was really kind of just blowing apart a lot of Schumer's arguments. And he also reiterated, look, you know, I'll table any amendment wherein they're going to try to force our hand at something. So now Mitch is playing hardball. And I like it. I think he should. He is playing hardball, and he should. And I hope, and I think that with the rules package, with all of this, I think he's going to have enough votes to do what he wants to do. He's got enough votes. So that's, you know, but they're going to go after Collins hard, but nothing's going to happen, because I think Collins, I don't think that she's going to be able to get over how they did her with the whole Kavanaugh situation. I think we have some of McConnell here. Listen.
If any amendments are brought forward to force premature decisions on mid-trial questions, I will move to table such amendments and protect our bipartisan precedent. If a senator moves to amend the resolution and orders subpoena specific witnesses or documents, I will move to table such motions, because the Senate will decide those questions later in the trial, just like we did back in 1999.
Yep. There you go. And of course, he was talking about the whole situation. He was discussing with Clinton. Now, one of the people that they keep bringing up as to someone that they want to have testify is that Lev Parnas guy, who is simply trying to, he's just doing what Michael Cohen did. And I agree with those characterizations. He's trying to save himself. And I don't know how he's been. What has he not been charged with at this point? So I can't take, that guy can't be taken seriously either. He's contradicted himself 16 ways to Sunday. But I think ultimately, I think that there's going to be enough here to pass all of this. And I don't think that Democrats are going to be successful in trying to bully people like Murkowski or Collins, or try to play Romney into going against the Republican Party. And some of these other cats that may have previously been weak links before, you have to look at the, first off, this is why it's so, voter data is so important. This is why voter turnout's important too. You're not gonna get these dudes to flip, because too many of them come from areas that at most they are light purple, and they have too many Trump supporters in their district to do anything like this. And I honestly still think that people aren't yet over the offense of Kavanaugh and everything Democrats have done. So we're gonna follow all of this, and we're gonna give you the latest just updates about it. Also, Democrats, they've been going after, we'll talk about some of their pushbacks against the impeachment claims as well. And they say that the president believes that he is above the law, which that's not accurate either. And we'll get into a little bit of a historical, not a deep dive, but we'll talk a little bit about some of the history associated with that as well. Now, we'll also get into the latest with Biden 2020. Wreck-It Ralph, because Ralph Northam last night took credit for, quote unquote, de-escalating the situation, which is, I don't even know what that means. So we're going to get into all of that and more. We got headlines coming up. As we move on, our really awesome friends at Delta Rescue, they do such great work. In fact, I was actually, I was on Instagram and I was commenting on one of their posts, because they were putting coats on a lot of the dogs that they have, just because it's a little chilly when the dogs are outside. They have these awesome little dog houses that are specifically built to maintain a constant 70 degree temperature. But when they're outside and playing, you know, it can be chilly. And so they got coats. That's some of what your donations go for. The food, medicine, whatever is needed to help and rehabilitate these dogs. What Delta Rescue and all animals, what Delta Rescue does, they save animals that have been abandoned by really cruel people in the wilderness, abandoned or born in the wilderness. Dogs, cats, horses, I mean, you name it, they'll take it. Leo Grillo had a really successful career in Hollywood, and then decided, you know what, somebody needs to be a steward this way, and I'm going to do it. So he left, and he lives on top of a mountain with all of these awesome animals. They have a veterinarian hospital there, veterinarians, staff 24/7. These animals are never alone. They have treats forever. It's the largest no-kill care for life animal sanctuary in the world. So when you donate to Delta, you are the difference between life and death for these animals. It's being a good steward of our environment, right? It's conservation. Delta wants to give you a special gift too when you act now, and when you go and check out their tax saving estate planning. Also, make sure that you look at and get a copy of The Rescuer. It's an award-winning documentary about Leo's two-year-long rescue of a family of 21 dogs that were just abandoned out in the wilderness. Now, it's available only at deltarescue.org/Dana. So show your dedication and everlasting love, and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The Trump administration honored a Black World War II hero. This is an amazing story. They named, this was a ceremony done at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. They named a future Gerald R. Ford class aircraft carrier after a World War II hero. He was the ship's cook, third class, Doris Miller. And he sprung into heroic action during that day of infamy in Pearl Harbor. And now he's going to have a ship named after him, that which is really awesome. This is not awesome. And I was actually shocked by this. So I know that they've reached out to the company to get some confirmation from them. FLIR, F-L-I-R, everybody, I have a FLIR scope. FLIR has discontinued all civilian sales. Now, apparently, how it's being reported is that FLIR is going to discontinue civilian sales of optics. And this is, for you to, they do a whole bunch of stuff, thermal optics, things like that. And apparently, one of the sources says that it's because FLIR's board of directors and their shareholders are against hunting and believe that only military and law enforcement should have access to thermal optics. And they also apparently said that FLIR was laying off people in their civilian and hunting department. There's a lot of discussion. FLIR has so far refused to, they said that FLIR's restricted sales to law enforcement and military, and FLIR has not commented on this at all, despite numerous attempts to reach out to them. So I'll watch that because I have some FLIR stuff, and that actually is pretty shocking to me. The coronavirus it started in China, is now spreading across China. The confirmed cases have tripled, and we're going to talk more about this here coming up. Pneumonia-like illness is transmittable between humans, and it has apparently now reached major metropolitan areas in China. The World Health Organization is involved, and I believe that they're going to start calling it a pandemic. So that's, and we'll explain a little bit what it is and how it started and all that stuff here coming up. But and apparently there's already the first U.S. case of the coronavirus. CDC apparently is expected, according to CNN, to announce this afternoon that the first case of the Wuhan coronavirus was reported in the United States. So we'll talk about more of that. Glenn Greenwald has been charged with cyber crimes in Brazil, according to the New York Times. Federal prosecutors in Brazil on Tuesday charged the American journalist with cyber crimes for his role in the spreading of cell phone messages that have embarrassed prosecutors and tarnished the image of an anti-corruption task force. He has been actually heavily criticized in Brazil, but he was also apparently working against certain factions, and it was very political. So now he's been an ardent critic of Brazil's far-right president, Jair Bolsonaro, and apparently he co-founded an organization called The Intercept Brazil, and that's where the leaked messages were published, etc. So now that there's a criminal investigation. And a new study says the average American is now sleeping only 5.5 hours each night, apparently like the president. Because that's apparently how much he sleeps, too. Stick with us.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
For all these folks now in this faux outrage that I hear about, oh, John Bolton needs to testify, then why didn't Adam Schiff subpoena him?
Right.
He never subpoenaed John Bolton.
Was
he never did
cover
these things.
Up?
Because
was
this
that
is
a cover-up, Congressman?
I think it's a cover-up from the fact that Adam Schiff is a fact witness. Adam Schiff does not want the American public how much he and his committee knew about this whistleblower and the issues going forward. Because once it found out that he had contact with the whistleblower, all of a sudden the whistleblower became, you know, oh, well, we don't really need the whistleblower's activity. Yeah. Why? Because it shined the light on his activities, which were wrong in the process.
And Adam Schiff is speaking right now. That was Doug Collins saying that they're covering up. Adam Schiff is a witness. And he's up there not blinking right now. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. So apparently, I just saw this and I thought this was interesting. In case depending on how long the impeachment marathon goes, there is a well-stocked candy desk in the Senate. I don't care how much candy you got to give these Republicans. I think you ought to juice them up with Mountain Dew Livewire. Apparently, I think they can only have like still water, sparkling water, and milk. That's odd. On the floor. I swear I saw somebody also add milk in. They can have those things on the floor, and then obviously they can have a candy desk, apparently. And they had one during Clinton's impeachment. So, and Santorum was apparently in charge of it. And they had to, they had a candy stash. It's apparently a serious thing. It's like when you're in elementary school, right? And you bring candy to school. When I was younger, it was Jolly Ranchers. Like, you could buy kids with Jolly Ranchers. You needed help on the playground? You needed somebody to push you on the swing? Somebody's giving you problems? Slip them a Jolly Rancher, right? And all you had to do when you walked up into school was just flash that Jolly Rancher bag. I get the sense that it's kind of the same in the Senate, at least when they do these impeachment marathons. By the way, apparently the CDC said it was a traveler from China diagnosed in Seattle with the Wuhan coronavirus, which sounds like it's about beer, but it's not. So we'll talk about that more coming up, but they just announced that and I wanted to share it with you. All right. So in Virginia, you know, they had the very, very over, like, what was it? Over 22,000 people. And that went out to protest the new proposed gun laws that have been making their way through the state legislature that Democrats control. And I was fascinated by what Ralph Northam actually tweeted out. It was pretty crazy. He was taking credit for this. Let me share with you what he tweeted. This is what he tweeted last night. He says, quote, "We are all thankful that today passed without incident. The team successfully de-escalated what could have been a volatile situation. I will continue to listen to the voices of Virginians and will do everything in my power to keep our Commonwealth safe." That was Governor Blackface of Bortham. Yeah, the only thing that he, and I retweeted him, and I said the only thing that was de-escalated was your rhetoric. Hey, I have an idea, though. Anytime we go anywhere and there's no violence, go ahead and just claim all the credit for it, for de-escalating it, because that's congratulations. There's no violence here. We de-escalated it. It's amazing. So like if you go to the grocery store, right, and say you're like in the condiments aisle and you're getting yourself some more ketchup, maybe you need some horseradish sauce or whatever, maybe you need to get some salad dressings and there is no violence around you, you go ahead and you take credit for it. You take credit for the nonviolence because you de-escalated that. Fist bumping you from afar. You de-escalated that situation. We're just going to randomly now take credit for things we didn't do when there was nothing there to de-escalate, because that's what he did. There was nothing to de-escalate, like literally nothing. People there were happy and they were joyful and they packed snacks. I saw a lot of pictures of that. I focus on the weird things when I look at these photos. Because I told you yesterday, I saw a video of a dude eating a granola bar. And then people who are going to cause problems don't pack themselves snacks, okay? They don't have themselves a snack bag. That is not how this works. Did y'all see the Occupy people and Antifa? Because they didn't have no snacks. All they had were weapons, and they had bats, and they all covered their faces even though it was hot outside. Not because it was 20 degrees like it was in Virginia, and then they all actually gave these people who came out for Virginia actually would uncover their face and talk to the media, which is not what Antifa or Occupy did, but whatever. No, the Antifa people, they burned stuff. The Occupy people took a deuce on a cop car. We didn't have any of that yesterday. There were no deuces to be had. There was no damage to be had. And those people left the area cleaner than what they found it. And now the media totally doesn't want to talk about it anymore. It didn't happen. What rally? What? What rally? They do the same thing with March for Life. What? What? There's a march? We've never heard of it. Yeah, they have it every year. Yeah, no, haven't heard of it. What is this new march thing for life, you say? That's how they act. That's how they are. They're just going to pretend that, I do find it most fascinating that that everything that Northam and so many in media and gun control advocates tried to hype ahead of that rally, it didn't happen. It was, I guess they don't realize that Second Amendment advocates aren't violent like their leftist friends in Antifa are. And if they don't go out and condemn Antifa, they don't say nothing. When Antifa staged something, they don't sit here and go, there's probably going to be violence. And it's also super rich that so many in legacy media were trying to portray what happened yesterday as being, there's going to be violence. There's going to, audio soundbite 18, networks were just acting like it was going to bring all the violent people. Listen to this.
Richmond, Virginia is on high alert this morning before a gun rights rally that local authorities fear could turn violent.
Yep. Ahead of today's event, 7 members of the white nationalist group called The Base, which advocates for a race war to create a white ethno state, were arrested across the country. Authorities say some of those people were expected to attend today's rally. State officials say they want to avoid another Charlottesville. When a neo-Nazi rally in 2017 ended.
See, they were all hyping it up. They were doing exactly what Northam was telling them to do. This is audio soundbite 16, MSNBC, Chris Hayes. Listen to what he says here. Listen to this.
Law enforcement officials say they planned on attending the rally and that they were in possession of a functioning automatic rifle. But the inescapable fact of this kind of event is that, yes, it's peaceful protest. It's First Amendment protected speech. But the implicit and explicit message of a bunch of heavily armed people marching on the state's capital is this. Don't you dare enact your policies. If you do, we will use these guns against you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not what actually anybody was saying. They were caring to show, first off, that it's their right to, and secondly, stop being afraid of inanimate object inanimate objects and start being afraid of the evil in people's hearts and evil people and their ability to continue to act on that because they're coddled by gun control advocates who disarm the innocent. That's what it's about. Heaven on earth. Honestly, some of these people. Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph Northam over there in Virginia. Good job, Wreck-It Ralph. I hope that Virginians, because they had a 40% voter turnout last election, I hope that they remedy that. And maybe this will be the thing. I just, voter turnout is so low in so many states. I think anything below 80% should be considered low voter turnout. I was talking to one of my kids about this last night, and he asked me, he's like, well, why aren't people just required to vote? I'm like, well, you don't force people to vote. I mean, they should. They need to be, someone should be able to be a steward of liberty without being forced by the government, because then that becomes an oxymoron. You're not free then, are you? What are you stewarding if you're not stewarding liberty? If you're being forced by someone that you're not free, that ain't liberty, right? And then apathy and the refusal to attend to that duty, and it is a duty. See, in a free society, you got to do things. You have to choose to do it. You have to choose to put in the effort. And I realize that government's so ridiculous and that things like, you know, what we see now with the impeachment ridiculousness doesn't help. But you still have to do it. I mean, it wasn't too different from the founders back in the day. They had to leave their farms and go serve. They had to do all kinds of stuff. We have some... You know, obviously we have a little bit of a technological advantage that can save us time, particularly in travel. But I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. Most everyone works, but maybe take a shorter vacation day. Is the freedom that important to you? You gotta ask yourself this. This is one of the things we've talked about. Like maybe we'll take shorter vacation. You know, take a day off here and there. And instead do what we need to do to help out, whether it's, you know, with polling or ballots or whatever, registering voters, something like that. But we have to make sure that we hold the line on that. So I hope that their voter turnout increases. I really, really do. And I think in Texas, it was like something like 50 something percent, which is crazy. You know how many of them are Republicans that could go out and vote? There's no excuse. I don't care if you hear somebody tell you, oh, I don't like the person, stop it. because that is stupid. And don't be afraid to say it. Sometimes you just got to brass up and you got to say that's stupid. Look at the issues. Oh, that's great. You don't like someone. Here's a newsflash. No one cares. Do you like the issue of freedom? What is this person that you don't like advocating? Do you not like them because you dislike the way they tweet? No one cares. Literally no one cares. Someone disliking the way someone tweets is not going to create and manifest a real world change. It's not going to do it. It's just you sitting somewhere not liking somebody's tweeting about something, not liking the way a politician tweets. I see this with certain Republicans where it concerns Trump. Or he said hell at a rally. I've heard you say worse at CPAC. Shut up. Some of these people, I'm like, where did your holiness come from? Did you get it at Target? Where did that come from? Yeah, that's my favorite. My favorite thing is when I hear people like, oh, I just don't know Trump with his tweets and his, really? Because I saw you at the bar at CPAC talking to a woman who wasn't your wife. It's amazing. I mean, if you want to be like really, really, really Puritan about it, let's go. I'm not that mean to go down that road, but if you believe me, you'll believe anything. But honestly, slightly joking. Seriously, though, we have to look at issues and not people. You have to separate that. What is that person advocating? If I don't like the person, and there are plenty of people I don't like, believe me, but they're promoting something and advocating for an issue that I like, I can live with that. Because ultimately, and this is going to sound selfish, but all voting is selfish. How does this best affect my ability to exercise my freedom? And that's what you got to look at. Is it taking your freedom away to vote for someone or support someone that you dislike, but who also advocates for the same things that you like and want to vote to protect? No. And see, Democrats realize that, which is why they try to emotionally browbeat you over it. And they try to emotionally blackmail you with virtues that they themselves don't have. Oh, you're voting for Trump? Well, do you know that I'm the official bouncer for that, for Republicans? And I'm telling you that if you vote for Trump, I guess you don't like Jesus enough. Literally, that has been the argument that some people, maybe not verbatim, but for the most part, have made on actual cable television. And it aired. Yeah, I can't. I tell you what. The bottom line is go out and vote. There's no excuse. Not voting. There's no reason for it. And people who don't vote, if you have Republican friends who don't vote, you have my permission to shame them. Shame them. Start off sweet. And if they don't do it, just be like, well, I guess you're just going to let all of us rot in communism. Thank you for the communism. Yes. And then just, you know, send them a thank you card after they don't vote. And just, you know, thank them so much for not voting and allowing another progressive vote to cancel yours out. I'm all about making friends, and that really goes a long way. That's actually should be. I don't know why there's not a Hallmark card for that, but there it is. All right, we have a lot of other stuff on the way, including coming up. Oh, gosh. Everyone's saying, oh, Trump is getting beaten so bad in fundraising. Literally, he's not. They actually had to add all of the Democrats candidates finding all of their fundraising together to get that number. Math is apparently not the strong suit of some. Also, we got a bunch of other stuff to get into. The latest with the impeachment. I'll tell you about the coronavirus. It's not about beer. And, oh my goodness, I have some other stories as well that are not so much political, but yet kind of are. And a whiny progressive reporter complained because a toothbrush apparently wasn't where it was supposed to be and it was not correctly priced or something. And so now... the Target manager was bullied on social media, and then there was a GoFundMe started for her. This is a crazy story. So wait, I'll tell you about it. So stay with us on that as well. In the meantime, Blink Home activated security cameras are pretty sweet. I really like them. So if you're ever traveling and you just want to make sure that your packages are okay, then just put your Blink cameras out there. They have indoor-outdoor cameras. They're wire-free. The X-T2 system is motion-activated, and you can talk to people through it. So if you want to protect your home, make sure that the kids get in safely from school, just check in on pets, whatever, you need to get yourself some Blink X-T2 cameras. When they detect motion where there shouldn't be, what happens is you get an alert and a video clip on your Blink smartphone app, which is just free and easy to download. And that you can determine whether or not you want to act on it or not. And you can also peek in live and talk to through your app and talk to, you know, your kids or whomever through your app. They set up fast. Like I said, they're wire free. They run on two AA batteries for up to 2 years. And they're just a good gift, too. So you can right now make sure you visit blinkprotect.com. That's blinkprotect.com.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
It says, quote, Hillary Clinton's talking about Bernie Sanders. He was in Congress for years. He had one senator to support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He got nothing done. He was a career politician. It's all just baloney, and I feel so bad that people got sucked into it.
Man, that, I don't know if y'all been following this epic slap fight, but it came first from the Hollywood Reporter, wherein Hillary Clinton said that nobody likes Bernie Sanders and won't commit to backing him if he's the Democrat nominee. Now, I have so many opinions about this. The first one is, if I were I Bernie Sanders, I'd probably go hide somewhere because, damn, Bernie, you in danger. Run. But more seriously, though, I actually kind of like that someone's taken the Bernie bros to task, you know, because this is like this frat-esque kind of campaigning from a dude who's legit never held a private sector job ever in the history of his life. And I do not count hand-making zines as that, as he drove around his Volvo. I don't count that as one of those things. I mean, this isn't high fidelity, okay? So she's going after him, saying nobody likes him. She says he hasn't done anything. Nobody wants to work with him. And when you think about it, yeah, what is he actually sponsored? What is he co-sponsored? What has he done to lend his name? I mean, other than he's encouraged and really helped grow the progressive caucus within the Democrat Party. So, I mean, I'm sure that the very far left Democrats appreciate him. But that is, and I think it might be too early to tell. I don't know. Maybe it was because remember back in 2016, everyone said that Elizabeth Warren was going to run. But she didn't, and it was commonly believed that it was because she was giving Hillary Clinton that ability to do so. So maybe there's some sort of, I don't know, sisterhood there, Democrat sisterhood happening. And maybe Hillary Clinton is kind of weighing in, not going full on for Sanders or for Warren, but kind of helping her out a little bit. Because that, but then how much influence does Hillary Clinton still have? Right? Because they've sort of fallen in stature. After Me Too and everything else and Weinstein, now everyone who always knew the stuff about Bill Clinton felt now suddenly empowered to criticize him. So I don't know. She's kind of viewed as the establishment anymore. We're going to talk more about that coming up. We also have a really, really, we got some crazy, crazy stories that are culturally, politically related. Stick with us. Don't go anywhere.
It's the Dana Show.
All of you listening to my show at this very moment are probably paying too much if you aren't using Patriot Mobile. And that's not even the worst part. Major cell phone carriers donate millions of dollars to causes you don't support as a conservative. So let's talk about reliability. Did you know that all of the carriers use one of the same four towers? So what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you, Patriot Mobile is the only company that donates a portion of your bill to support conservative causes, religious liberty, life, and the Second Amendment. Starting at $25, Patriot Mobile plans come with unlimited talk, text, and the same reliable nationwide service, but with no hidden fees. Support the phone company that supports your values. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana, and when you use the offer code Dana, get a free month of service when you open a new line of service. You can also call their U.S.-based customer service team at 877-367-7524. Vote with your dollars and support Patriot Mobile, who is fighting for your values. You'll receive great service and you'll save money. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 877-367-7524. That's 877-367-7524.
Presumably you would want to call John Bolton, but are you prepared then for who the Republicans want to call as witnesses? Would that be fair?
It would certainly be fair for the president and his team to be able to call witnesses that can provide material information on the charges. It would not be appropriate for the president to seek to call witnesses merely to try to perpetuate the same smear campaign that was foiled when his plot was discovered. Hunter Biden, for example, can't tell us anything about whether the president withheld military aid, whether he withheld that aid to coerce Ukraine to conduct political investigations.
Okay, or why. The Adam Schiff is, he just apparently also gave a PowerPoint presentation. God bless him. A PowerPoint presentation on the floor of the Senate. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. And make sure to follow me on Twitter, at DLash on Twitter, Facebook, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Also, channel 248 on Pluto TV, where you can watch us live. I have a lot of content up at danaradio.com also. I didn't know people, PowerPoint's a thing still? Yeah, I guess it is, right? No? I don't know. Steve, do you use PowerPoint for anything ever? Do you know anyone who uses it?
No, because Google Slides is a lot easier if you have a Gmail account, so I've always used Google Slides.
Yeah, I don't think I've used PowerPoint since I was in college. I don't think it's been forever. But he used PowerPoint on the, so just to make it more boring and boomerish, they're PowerPointing it up on the Senate floor. Yay, charts and graphs! It's not going to change anything. I mean, it's not. You can make whatever, you can have whatever you want. It's just not going to change anything. What did change, though, Mitch McConnell, I said on the break, we were all talking about Mitch McConnell, his demeanor, and he is, don't let the fact that he is an older man fool you into thinking that he's too old to pay attention or do anything. This man was created in a parliamentary lab in a petri dish. And he's literally made of parliamentary rules. That is his DNA through and through. But he changed, apparently the new organizing resolution that's out is it allows both sides to have 3 days instead of 2 days to give 24 hours of arguments. You heard me right. 24 hours of arguments. 3 days. So, and they... I think that they admitted the House record into evidence. That I guess they would have had a vote. And then now 24 hours over 3 days before it was over 2 days. So now it's 3 days. He's going to make them hate this. He is going to make them hate this. And it's kind of funny. I don't know how long this is going to go on. Well, McConnell also said when he was giving his remarks at the start of this that they were going to stay there until it was all done and concluded and decisions were rendered or it was thrown out. That's what they're doing. So he gonna make people pay for it. But that's kind of how he's sort of always operated. Now, because usually if they were going to do this over a 2 day period, it would have been 12 days. Now it's just going to be an 8 hour period. And this also means, folks, you will all be able to watch it over a 3 day period. Whereas previously, maybe, you know, not everyone would have been able to watch it for those, those 2 days with those hours. But so I think I don't really think it's necessarily a huge thing, but a huge change. But I do think it's kind of funny because he'll just, I'm telling you, I don't know. And right now they have the votes. They have the votes. And they're for their rules package and everything else, and they're going to continue running with that. All right, so a couple of things here. I want to make sure that I get into everything because we got a lot of stuff. Really, and if you go to danaradio.com or danalash.com, both URLs will take you there. I wrote a piece up that was just getting into some of the photos and some of the people and all of that stuff that were at Virginia. And I know the media is done talking about it because they honestly, I mean, what are we supposed to expect when you hear people going, and there's going to be it's all going to be white militia supremacist monsters that are attending. I mean, that's kind of what we heard this. And isn't it? I mean, there were actual elected officials that were really hyping it up like this. And then nothing of the sort happened, and it's like everyone totally forgot all about it, and it didn't confirm a narrative, so let's move on. And then Northam, as I said earlier, tried to take credit for it by saying that, well, you know, they were able to de-escalate a situation, which is what I'm going to do every single time wherever I am. If I'm wherever, if I'm at a sandwich shop and I'm getting a sandwich, I'm going to be like, it's okay, everyone, I've de-escalated this whole situation. And they're going to look at me like I'm crazy, but it's okay because I de-escalated it. Just do that randomly and see if it's as successful as what Northam did. No confirmation as to what the paint, if there was paint on his face or not when he said this. So, in looking at this, it was a total narrative fail. And I saw somebody, because there were, it was actually a quite diverse turnout. And I was watching some conversation on social media yesterday wherein some people on the left were saying, oh, it's so silly for white gun owners to show all of these pictures of minority gun owners, you know, as a way to, you know, try to like prove that it's a, you know, it's support for Second Amendment is diverse, LOL. Yeah, but it's also really stupid for white progressives to whitewash minority participation and exercise of their Second Amendment rights. Y'all, the Black Panthers showed up to that Second Amendment rally yesterday to support it. And there's photos of them. I got it up at DanaRadio.com. I don't begrudge anybody going out supporting their Second Amendment rights. If you're law-abiding and you're not a prohibited possessor, do it to it. Exercise your rights, peaceful assembly, lawful carry. You have that right to do so. And it doesn't matter what group you're in. Doesn't. Black Panthers are not. Everybody has the right of Second Amendment lawful self-defense. That's what it is. And I got the sense that there were a lot of anti-gun advocates who just who didn't quite know what to. It's so weird how they approach this. They ignore the significant minority, and I'm not just talking about Black Americans, I'm talking about gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever, who support their Second Amendment rights. And they realize that when you have communities that are so often can be marginalized and threatened, they want to be able to protect themselves and have that and equalize that against people who may attack them. And they, anti-gun advocates, they ignore their participation and then use their refusal to acknowledge their participation as a way, as some sort of substitute for actual absence of said minority participation. No, we're not going to be gaslit into that. We're not going to be gaslit into that. So, you know, I don't know. Speaking of some of the hot takes on this, let me pull this up. I saw this going around and I was trying to remember who this individual was. It's a journalist. I think they do some stuff with Huffington Post. But the argument was that just because violence didn't happen doesn't mean that it was peaceful. But it was, though. It was peaceful. And if anyone watched any of the footage or talked to anyone there, as we did yesterday, people were happy. It was cold, and that was pretty much the only thing that was making them uncomfortable. But that was pretty much it. I just don't know how people can have more outrage towards that as opposed to Antifa burning buildings down. That doesn't make any sense. But there were everybody out there. That's the one thing of common ground that I think people have. And it doesn't matter where you're at culturally. It honestly, you know, excluding gun control, it doesn't matter where you are politically. I think that self-defense and the ability to have equal force as your attacker, that should be common ground that everybody can come together on, right? And I wrote about this up, and you can go and see all the, you know, the photos and all of the stuff of it. I wrote about it at DanaRadio.com. But that's like the common ground that we all have. And I mean, you're not going to find any more diversity anywhere else. You know, I mentioned this. I said that, you know, ultimately when you're looking at this and you're seeing all the different individuals that came out and they're standing shoulder to shoulder, you know, that's a pretty cool thing to realize just how far reaching this common ground can it is and can be. But that's the problem. You know, nobody assaulted anyone. Nobody did anything. They're not even giving them credit for all, you know, the peace that happened despite the provocations. Yeah, I don't know. Because I looked at it, immediately fell off memorandum. It fell off everywhere. It's not even trending anymore because it didn't confirm their bias. I don't care what someone's politics are. If we agree on the right of self-defense and, you know, the Second Amendment, that's cool, right? We're not always going to agree on every single issue. But do we have to? I mean, I think it's creepy if you agree with someone 100%, right? I think Jesus is the only person that I agree with 100%. So I don't even agree with my kids on everything. I don't even agree with my dogs on everything. So we're not hive mind. We're not Borg. But that's the big one. And if we agree on that, then that's cool, right? And a lot of common ground there. A lot of common ground there. So as the impeachment, yep, Schiff is still talking. No more news of PowerPoint presentations, however. Here's a crazy story. So San Antonio, even though Chick-fil-A did bend the knee and they're, you know, doing whatever, I still like their chicken sandwiches, whatever. The city of San Antonio has spent $315,000 in legal fees to banning, still doing this. They say over their, quote, anti-gay stance. Now, wait a minute. Hold up. All right. So first, they decided to try to stop their incorporation into becoming a new project of the airport there in San Antonio because they didn't like the Christian groups that Chick-fil-A donated to. And one of those was Fellowship of Christian Athletes in the Salvation Army. And the Salvation Army has done actually quite a bit to help everyone. I mean, they specifically even stated on their page, and when we lived in St. Louis, I saw it firsthand. I don't understand that criticism doesn't have any merit in fact and or basis in fact. And then Fellowship of Christian Athletes is legit just people who are Christian in high school, and they're also athletes, hence the name. No one's going out and persecuting anyone like these people are of Chick-fil-A. Now, I have my differences with Chick-fil-A, but in terms of them bending the knee and stuff, but they're Christian people. And so now, and I told you it was never going to be enough. So they stopped donating to, apparently, to Salvation Army, and now they're incorporating some what conservatives would classify as left-leaning groups. Now they're donating to a bunch of different things, but it's still not enough. Now they've moved the goalpost, and it is, well, you are just anti-LGBTQ. Now, if you... They employ people who are LGBTQ. People who are LGBTQ get insurance. They work with Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A doesn't bar anyone from eating there. What does this have to do with all of the people who work for the restaurant? Oh, the guy who owns it, all of the restaurants, and employs everyone and loves everyone, even though I, again, disagree with their decision to bend the knee. They do everything with everyone because he's Christian, and there's certain things in the Bible about same-sex marriage. That's it? See, it's never enough. The actions are never enough. It's always about, it's just belief, the existence of an opinion, the existence of that belief, the existence of something different. It's never going to stop. They're never, ever going to stop. And I think even if Chick-fil-A fully bent over backwards and said, all right, you know, we hate Christians now. We hate Christians. And we shed all of that. And even if Dan Cathy decided to become an atheist, I still don't think that it would be enough for people. They would still hold their past against them because it's not about persuasion and conversion. It's about destruction, always. We have a lot more coming up. We have headlines on the way also. And a Denver Post columnist was fired after discussing the fact that there were two sexes. Well, then they lost their job as a result of that. We got some of that coming up for you as well, and you don't want to miss a single bit of it. And we also, of course, have Florida Man and Today and Stupidity and all of that good stuff in the meantime. Now, as we get moving on, this a couple of things. We got headlines, all kinds of stuff. We got a lot more of the show coming up. We have more of the Dana Show after this. Stick with us.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy the Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So that coronavirus, which is looking pretty terrifying. Good night. So far it's grown. It's claimed the sixth victim, as now people say that the Lunar New Year holiday, that travel is really increasing the risk. And apparently it's in the same family of viruses as SARS. And we'll have the latest on that as well. Two officers ambushed, murdered after responding to a woman's call for help. A woman had been stabbed. This was in Honolulu early Sunday afternoon. And these multiple officers had been shot, and two of them fatally. One in which, in fact, was a young mother of three children. Just absolutely awful. And obviously we're thinking of the Honolulu Fire Department. Tiffany, Victoria Enriquez, and Kaulai Kalama. They'd been on the force each fewer than 10 years. So That's just heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. The Inside Edition crew got robbed while they were reporting on San Francisco Bay Area crime. An Inside Edition crew who had baited, smash, and grab thieves in San Francisco, well, they actually got robbed. Thousands of dollars worth of equipment robbed. They were filming themselves planting GPS trackers inside items that they would place in a parked car that was in an area known for theft. And surprise, guess what? It got robbed. And not only did they get robbed, but they got robbed too. And the surveillance footage caught the incident. It was like 20 seconds, perhaps. So they tracked it. Just crazy. When they tracked the guy down, that's when they actually stole their equipment. So good heavens. And the New York Times endorsed two Democrats for president, Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar. Why? Because they probably, I think that's just because they want attention, honestly. I can't see, because they're, in some ways, they're far apart on policy, but in some ways, they really aren't. So it's kind of interesting. This is a ridiculous story, and we're going to talk about it more. KVUE, an ABC affiliate, a Texas family is being sued by their neighbor because they put in a playscape that was approved by their HOA for their terminally ill son in their backyard, but the neighbor apparently, I guess, didn't get to look at it before they put it up in the backyard. And so the neighbor, who's very litigious, is suing the family. It's so just, wow, people, come on. We got a lot more coming up. Stick with us.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
We will not have a system where we are the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people. Health care is a human right, not a privilege. We will not have a system where the very, very rich get richer while the poor get poorer and half of our people are living paycheck to paycheck.
So Bernie Sanders at one of his campaign events. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, channel 248 on Pluto TV, and DanaRadio.com. His campaign rhetoric's pretty similar no matter where he is. But this, I feel really like he doesn't understand the difference between insurance and healthcare, because they're two separate things. Having coverage isn't the same as having care. And I know, because Obamacare affected my healthcare coverage. It absolutely did. It is my healthcare on Obamacare is almost twice as much more expensive than it was on my previous plan. Super expensive. I mean, my options are reduced to not a lot, and it's pretty hardcore. It is the worst. I have friends who lost specialists, either for themselves or for their kids. And to have, you know, someone tell me or try to gaslight me into believing that that's better than what I had previously? No, it actually isn't. It's really not. It's a lot worse. It's pretty unbelievable, in fact. So I don't buy any of that. I really just don't buy any of that. And it's not the exception. It really is almost as many stories as there are out there discussing. And because that's kind of what this is, what he's talking about, state-run care, like the VA, where you had six-figure veterans who passed away. They passed away before they could even get seen for treatment. They found a backlog. That's what you're talking about. Because when you have such, when you're talking about financing this for everyone, you're going to have to ration out that care. That is why they had those panels of unelected bureaucrats. And you can bristle at the idea of them being referred to as death panels, but ultimately you have to ration care. You got to control costs somehow. And that's how you do it. It's not care. Insurance, having insurance and actual healthcare are two entirely different things. The way that we run healthcare in the United States is the dumbest thing in the history of the world. Why in the ever-loving hell do we have to marry it to employment? Why can't you treat it like any other, like some of these other services that are out there, or specialized services or anything else? Why can't you It needs to be portable, where it's not, you can always have it regardless of where you're employed at. It's ridiculous. All right, so him saying this, again, it's that it's insurance isn't a right, and nothing that requires someone else to forcibly forfeit their time, because time is money. However long you spend working to earn X amount of dollars, that is your time. And X amount of the dollars that you earn goes to the government in the form of tax. What is it? They say like the first 3 months of the year, we work just to, for the government. Do you want more of that time? Because you are being forcibly made to subsidize something for someone else, which is an infringement upon your freedom. And if rights do not infringe on someone else's freedom, it is not a right. It is a service. And maybe if people made smarter decisions in Congress about how healthcare should operate, it wouldn't be such a struggle for some. Because I know it is. No one's discounting that there are some people who can't get coverage or who struggle with medical bills. Believe me, I get it. But that doesn't mean that you make it harder for someone else to be able to afford theirs, you know? Speaking of all of this, with the Sanders campaign, remember how when we talked to James O'Keefe last week and there was someone in the O'Keefe campaign who had been really talking about communism, extolling their, I guess, idea of virtues within communism, and just really going out and say, oh, we need to, you know, really some people need to meet some violence and all this kind of stuff. And when he put it out there, everyone replied by saying, well, it was just one person. It's just one person. No big deal. I mean, granted, the guy who went and shot off the congressional ball fields was one person, but, you know, it's just one person. Well, it's not, because now here's another staffer, Audio Sunbite 12, who does the same thing. Listen to what Martin Weisberger has to say.
I always said, you know, I'm a communist. I'm ready to start tearing bricks up and start fighting. I'm straight up get arms. I want to learn how to shoot and go train. I'm ready for the revolution. All right. So do we just cease? Do we just dissolve the Senate, House of Representatives, and just branch and have somebody like Bernie Sanders and a cabinet of people make all the decisions for the climate? I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
What will help is when we send all the Republicans to the re-education. Can you imagine Mitch McConnell?
Oh, God, he wouldn't survive a day.
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, and he did the hand motion to mock the... It's something that people have made fun of for a really long time, and they've tried to say that Lindsey Graham is gay, and they make fun of him and all this stuff, and golly, like, stop it. Can you not? Like, I thought that was, like, not woke to do stuff like that. So this dude that is the second staffer with O'Keefe that O'Keefe discovered, Martin Weisberger, and he's apparently another paid staffer who's saying the same things. And I think this is showcasing the type of, it's a Bernie bro problem. And this guy's in South Carolina. So the other guy was in Iowa. This dude is in South Carolina. It's clearly not just one person. And there were other staff members in Iowa who were totally fine with that other dude. So clearly it's not just a one person problem. I think that his campaign actually, I think it attracts, I don't know, it just, all the people seem so mad. All Bernie supporters seem so dang mad. Almost as, like, not whiny mad, but, like, violent mad, right? Like, Warren's people are whiny mad, and they get upset over if you talk about baking cookies or something. But Bernie's people seem just actually angry to the point where they want to physically do something about it. You see them argue on online and everywhere else. And this kind of gets it to, I think, some of what Hillary Clinton has been talking about as well. I'm saying this, even though I think Bernie ought to be scared if Hillary doesn't like him. Have any other Democrats actually gone off and addressed him and some of the stuff that he says at his events, and this Bernie bro behavior that seems to be not just like a one-off within his base? I haven't recalled anyone doing that. Clinton is. That's just, it's, Very interesting. Very, very interesting. There's a lot going on the chessboard in terms of power jockeying and who's going to be the, I think Warren is the more acceptable socialist to Democrats because she's already demonstrated that she can fall in line like she did in 2016 by not challenging Hillary Clinton for the nomination. Hillary Clinton would have made it through if Sanders and Warren had challenged her. If both of them had challenged her, she would not have made it through. And I think that Warren has demonstrated that she's willing to fall in line and she's willing to do what senior Democrats ask of her. And as a result, she's shown that she's a team player with Democrats. And so they're likely, the Nancy Pelosi's are likely to, and Hillary Clinton's are likely to push more for her than Sanders. Although I still think that they're in for Biden. And Biden has started to go after Bernie just a little bit as well. And it will be interesting to see how that's going to go. But here, I mean, we're right here coming up on the Iowa caucus. And it's the last time Hillary Clinton did this, though, she went after Tulsi Gabbard and it didn't actually work for her. So Hillary Clinton, I think it's odd that she's going after the Bernie Sanders and Bernie Bros. But at the same time, she's not the best strategist. As you saw during 2016, and when she went after Tulsi Gabbard, she blew Tulsi Gabbard up. She gave Tulsi Gabbard extra life in the primary. Right as Tulsi Gabbard was tanking in the polls, her fundraising was drying up, there were questions as to whether or not she was even going to make it on the debate stage. Then Hillary Clinton popped off about her, and boom, all of this, because Hillary Clinton turns off a lot of Democrats, and it just, all of a sudden, Tulsi Gabbard was supremely popular again, and she got like a whole other month in the primary because Hillary Clinton said something about her, which also kind of makes me wonder. I don't think that Hillary Clinton likes Bernie Sanders. I think she's opportunistic, but there's no way this came out now without her allowing it to. So what is the give here? What does she get out of this? Because for her to do this, right as we're getting up on the, we're rolling into the Iowa caucus, is weird to me. Because that's only, honestly, I think it's only going to help him. I mean, she went after all of them. I think it's only going to help him. She says Sanders was a career politician. Sanders got nothing done. And that she said he was a career politician. It's all just baloney. And I feel so bad that people got sucked into it. And then when they asked, they said, does that assessment still hold? And this is when she was talking to Hollywood Reporter, or this is what the Hollywood Reporter had. And Hillary says, yes, if he gets the nominee, or they said, she says, yes, it does. That assessment still holds. And they asked, if he gets the nomination, will you endorse and campaign for him? And she says, I'm not going to go there yet. There's still a very vigorous primary season. And I will say, however, that it's not only him, it's the culture around him. It's his leadership team. It's his prominent supporters. It's his online Bernie bros. And their relentless attacks on lots of competitors, particularly the women. End quote. And then you have this video from James O'Keefe. So, I mean, why do this now? Why do this now? I think that she has, there is a lot of animosity between Sanders and Clinton because Sanders people have always blamed Hillary Clinton for him losing the nomination, which to be fair, were it not for the superdelegates and some of those primaries, he absolutely would have. She would have lost it and he would have taken it. And really, I mean, in terms of who has the better record and working in private sector, I mean, Hillary Clinton's record isn't all that different. Plus, she's got a couple of demolished governments at her feet. When you look at what happened in Egypt when she endorsed Muslim Brotherhood. And then when you look at what happened in Libya and Gaddafi, I mean, that's pretty disastrous. But this is just how, I don't know how this will hurt Bernie Sanders. This could backfire on Hillary Clinton. I will be very interested in seeing if Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar, what they say, if they respond to this and what they say in response to this, because that will be a significant signal. I am fascinated with this topic too, by the way. I am super fascinated because you're watching the DNA of the Democrat Party change live before your eyes. It's amazing. We have a lot more in store. We got Florida Man on the way, too, and you don't want to miss Florida Man. And as we get moving on, Our good friends over at Super Beats, they do a lot to make sure that you have all of the energy and stamina that you need to get through your day. And this is, I do Super Beats. I whether it's the 4-ounce drink or their new Super Beats soft chews, you get all the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats, but it's packed into two very convenient, very delicious soft chews. You can take them with you wherever you go. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds because they have a new breakthrough ingredient, grape seed extract, and they get these particular seeds from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. It's like your Chardonnay snack. Just look at it like that. The grape seed extract that they use in Super Beats soft chews was clinically studied, and it is shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. So get your Super Beats soft chews today. Visit danasbeats.com, and when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. This is the only place where you can get this offer. Danasbeats.com, buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free.
Entertaining, educational, and relentless. Get your on-demand dose of Dana. Listen live at danaradio.com.
The climate and environment is a hot topic right now, and a lot thanks to young people pushing. But of course, if you see it from another perspective, pretty much nothing has been done since the global emissions of CO2 has not reduced. And that is, of course, what we are trying to achieve, among other things.
Well, because since she was talking about doing this for 2020, we're literally like not even a month into it. So calm down. But that's the girl who's skipping school. Get her in school. Anyway, she can say this, but at the same time, if my son makes an observation about cookies during the Democrat debate, as it involves Elizabeth Warren, who has baked and taken pictures of that and shown it before, then that's not okay, because kids can only have opinions on certain things. I mean, at least that's what we've been told, right? That's kind of the new common knowledge. Now, tomorrow I will be broadcasting from Las Vegas for SHOT Show, because we go just about every year. And it's an industry. So if you're everyone's like, well, what is SHOT Show? It's the National Shooting Sports Foundation, NSSF, and they put this on every year. And it is an industry show that is not open to the public, but you can go and you see the latest and coolest of what's coming out in the Second Amendment or firearms industry, accessories, firearms, holsters, things like that, all kinds of new stuff. And so we'll be there tomorrow, and we got a lot of really cool stuff to get into with you then as well. We have some fun stuff scheduled, so you'll enjoy it. In the meantime, let's go ahead and kick it into some Florida Man.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
How dare you?
How dare you? Oh my gosh, this is crazy. A woman passed out in Florida with a blood alcohol content of 0.338. She was walking a baby in a stroller and just passed out on a public sidewalk. Emergency crews responded after the 46-year-old woman was found on a public sidewalk next to a stroller. The 11-month-old that was in the stroller, thankfully, was still asleep. The woman and the baby, Stephanie Saladino, and the baby were transported to the hospital. Now, nurses told police that Saladino had a blood alcohol level four times over the legal driving limit, and it was nearly fatal. According to her arrest report, Saladino told police that she drank some wine before taking the child on a walk and then just passed out drunk on the sidewalk. So the child was taken into child protection custody, and the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office is still there. The case is still open, but good heavens, that's how are you operating with your blood alcohol content four times over the driving limit? Good night. And then just like strolling her baby down there out there on the sidewalk. I'm assuming it was her baby, but 11-month-old, and thankfully nothing had happened to that child. All right, so this, a couple of things. Florida woman brought a knife to a gunfight, which is what you never do. This is NBC Miami in Fort Lauderdale. A woman was transported to a hospital after she charged a bar owner with a knife. The bar owner was, Glitch Bar, was lawfully armed, and he apparently reportedly shot the woman once in self-defense because the woman wouldn't leave him alone and charged him with a knife. Obviously, she is. There's no information on what sparked it or the condition. Police are still investigating. Third hour on the way. Stick with us.
It's the Dana Show.
to be ethical, if you're a billionaire today, the thing that you need to do is give up control and power. So I don't want your money as much as we want your power. The people, not me. That's going to get cut and clipped.
Yeah, it was. Oh my gosh, that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Oh man, so that's one of the most terrifyingly honest things I've ever heard a politician say. It's not your money, it's your power that we want. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. And make sure to check out danaradio.com as well. New content up there, and you can watch the 3-hour stream on YouTube, on Facebook, official Dana Lash on Facebook, or channel 248 on Pluto TV. Now, that Q&A, and she says, oh, that's going to get clipped later, because she realizes how absurd it sounds. Influence and power aren't the same thing. I think they can be misconstrued, but there's a nuance there that is important to acknowledge. And I mean, I would imagine that she considers herself to be an educated woman, and it's interesting that she chose the word power. They want what you have. Very interesting, indeed. That's the socialist creed. That's what you see with Bernie Sanders. As more and more of these staff things come up too, by the way, but James O'Keefe, they're going to have to ask him questions. Here's an interesting question too, speaking of questions. How is it not a conflict of interest for actual senators who are running in the primary to now be sitting in the Senate chamber as jurors during this impeachment trial? Because aren't these the same people that were demanding certain individuals in the House recuse themselves? It's very, very inconsistent. Very inconsistent. Now, as the impeachment trial continues, and there are a number of a number of individuals that have been speaking, notably Adam Schiff. But I thought it was funny because Ted Cruz was noticed by a guy named Joe Lockhart. I don't know who this guy is. Oh, he's a analyst at CNN, and Ted Cruz's account tweeted something, and it included an older video clip, and Joe Lockhart like freaked out and tweeted, "Senators on the floor are sworn to silence and have no electronic devices." So how's this senator tweeting? Did he sneak a phone in? Is he willing to go to prison? Or is the tweet from someone other than Cruz, at Jack, the guy who runs Twitter? You should investigate, because he's losing his mind. And it's very interesting because one of Cruz's staff members said, yeah, if you're going to be the enforcer on this, you're going to end up staying busy, and shows tweets from Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey and all kinds of Democrats in the Senate right now. Yeah, and then Ted Cruz just tweeted an image of a shape of a phone under the star and come and take it. Which is very clever. Totally funny. Yeah, that's good grief. Calm down, Karen. Calm down. But one of the arguments that Adam Schiff like actually just made when he was last on the floor giving remarks about this, they're demanding. So the House is demanding that the Senate call witnesses that the House would not call. They're demanding, oh, we want John Bolton to testify. We want Lev Parnas to testify. We want, well, why didn't you do it in the House? And then they say, well, we want you to provide the evidence that we did not provide you. Again, the Senate, this is how this process works. The House is responsible for the investigation. The Senate is responsible for the trial. If Democrats, and Democrats know that they don't have anything, they would have found something in their investigation, and they would have put Republicans, had they had any kind of evidence, in the very uncomfortable position of either having to water down the charges or in some respect spin the criminality. But there's no criminal charge. It's just dislike. And dislike isn't criminal yet, because Democrats aren't in charge, but it's not criminal yet. And so the Senate is supposed to render a decision based upon the evidence that the House has gathered in their investigation. And so the House says, and this has been the argument of Pelosi and Schiff and all these people, oh, well, you know, you need to have our witnesses. You need to have these witnesses go up and testify. Okay, well, that's what you were supposed to do in the House. Yeah, well, you know, it's we were trying to be as speedy as possible and make quick work of this whole process. You're the one trying to drag it out. Okay, well, then why did you delay sending over the articles of impeachment for so long? If you were trying to make this a speedy process, you can't have that argument go both ways. You can't say that it was of the utmost importance and that it was and time is of the essence, and then simultaneously not purposefully not send over articles of impeachment because you're trying to make some kind of point. Well, because then you compromised your whole argument. I mean, it's you did not you messed up. So that's ongoing. All right. So this SARS, I have to talk about this, the coronavirus. And I think it's like the beer, but it's not. So Taiwan has confirmed a case of the SARS. It comes from this coronavirus in China comes from the same line of viruses or family of viruses that SARS comes from. And it's infected so far. Oh, my gosh. Six people now? And oh, no, the death toll is six, and 300 patients are struck down. Now, experts are predicting that it's going to continue to spread. 15 healthcare workers have caught it. It's a respiratory virus. 325 people in Asia have tested positive for it. Three other countries have reported cases. Thailand, Japan, South Korea, and the CDC announced that in Washington state, a federal source says that via CNN, that there is one confirmed case of the coronavirus. Oh, lovely. And the World Health Organization is involved, and they're concerned that obviously this could become a pandemic. Now, this, I know your question is mine. Should we be getting scared? Is this? I'm a germaphobe. So the more I read about it, the more I'm like, I have this. We all have it. This is going to be like the Ebola thing, isn't it? It's going to be like Ebola. Now, there was apparently medics in hazmat suits screening Air China plane passengers for the coronavirus before they were allowed to leave domestic flights. And apparently there's footage that says that it's showing medics taking passengers' temperatures and all kinds of stuff. And they say in China that there's like over 1,000 actually infected. And that the total confirmed cases is 326 now. And there's the four cases that are outside now of China. But there were people in hazmat suits that were literally going through the plane and doing the forehead temperature check. And that's kind of terrifying. The passenger who filmed it said it was taken on January 12th on an Air China flight. So far, Air China has not responded to any kind of questions on that. So they're treating it like they're afraid of a pandemic, which, yeah, I would also be as well. And it's that's the only name that it has. They know that it comes from, it's a, very much like SARS. And they think that in Australia and Philippines, by the way, are also investigating suspected cases of it. But I don't think that they have confirmed it. Now, the World Health Organization is expected to hold a meeting tomorrow to discuss making it a public health emergency, this outbreak. And experts from China's National Health Commission have told Wuhan's 11 million residents to not leave the city. And all these other, everyone's investigating it. There was a renowned Chinese doctor who was apparently investigating the outbreak that caught it himself. And one expert says that the coronavirus may have been lurking in animals for decades before adapting to infect humans. Now, they think that in Wuhan, the cases that are concentrated are, they believe, near this market that is in Wuhan. That was one report that I saw. And the doctor who was infected heads up the Department of Pulmonary Medicine at Beijing's Peking University First Hospital. And they think, yeah, this is something that may have been, you know, lurking in animals for a while before it adapted and now is infecting humans. Ooh. And apparently the Hubei province announced five new cases amongst healthcare workers, including one doctor and four nurses. And oh my gosh, and everyone's buying face masks. It's going to be like the Ebola thing, isn't it? I don't know. And everyone's wondering, has it spread to Australia? Has it spread to the Philippines? And there's one, they said that the one individual, that it came from the Hunanan Wholesale Seafood Market. That's where the majority of patients have been traced. Say what? That's what I was telling you. The Wuhan Hunanan Wholesale Seafood Market. That's where they think that that's where the highest concentration has been. And one of the guys who's fighting for his life, he was in apparently struck down. He was visiting in Thailand, and he's 32 years old, and he's like in good shape and works out. And he's apparently considered the first Western victim of it. And he's legit like in the hospital on a ventilator. So just, you know, just saying, I don't like to freak out over stuff, but I am also like very much of a germaphobe. Now, the symptoms are, this is what sucks. The symptoms are just like everything else, right? And then if you feel like you're having symptoms and you go and Google it, obviously you shouldn't do any of that unless you've been over there or exposed to somebody who's, I guess, been traveling over there, obviously. But it reminds me of the Ebola breakout, because when the Ebola breakout happened in Dallas, and Rachel, who runs camera and video for the streaming for TV, for Pluto TV for the first, she lived like blocks away from where that happened. And she was saying that she was in the grocery store when the helicopters were buzzing overhead. And she was just like, yeah, I don't need food. I'm good. I'm good. Because this person probably came in here and touched all the food. You know how you like pick up produce and you look at it? And yeah, so she ran away. She ran away from the grocery store. And then I had to travel when all of that was happening. I'm not even kidding you, because you guys know how nuts I am. I wipe down my seat before I sit down. And my husband makes fun of me because he thinks I look like a, you know, a fruitcake. But I wipe everything down. Anything that I would actually touch with my skin, I will wipe it down with an assortment of wet ones. And I have numerous travel cases of them. And that's how I do it. So I wore like the gloves, and I even brought a face mask with me when I was traveling for the Ebola thing. I look like a fruitcake walking through the airport. But you know what? I don't even care. I don't even care. I don't care if I look like a fruitcake walking with a face mask. I swear to you, if this like keeps going out, I'll do it again. I got a whole box of face masks. I kid you not. I will not have any shame at all. So anyway, I really hope that this stops. And can I just like say too, if you feel like you're sick, stay home. Don't go out. We don't want you. If you feel like you're sick, stay in your home. Don't come out. Don't get around us. Don't be like, oh, it's just a no, get away. Stay home. Stop being that person. Oh, this is why I don't like shaking hands. And I'm getting ready to embark on a SHOT Show this week, and people are going to want to shake hands. And you guys know how I feel about that. I cannot stand it. The only thing that I like that I see, you know, I'm not going to sit here and praise communist China, but I will say the thing I like that they do is everybody bows. Japan, people bow. China, some people bow, I guess. People more often in Asian culture bow, which I think is, first off, it is very nice germ-wise to the person that you are greeting. I like that. I don't like the let's shake sweaty hands and exchange hand juice. I don't like this at all. Because, right? I'm grossing myself out. We need to get going because I'm going to freak out. This is the only thing. Nothing else will get me, but you start talking about germs. Oh, my gosh. There you go, right there. All right, we have a lot more coming up, but just, you know, be careful. It's basically like flu, like pneumonia, upper respiratory, like in symptoms. So you don't have anything to worry about unless you were in Wuhan. Just scared people. Some like Georgia. Sorry. All right, we got to move on. We got a lot of other stuff to get into. Like I said, I'm going to be at SHOT Show coming up this week, and I will be seeing some very good friends of ours there, our really awesome friends at Kel-Tec. They make some really cool stuff. Kel-Tec Firearms, it's a privately owned family company. They've been doing this since 1995. Pretty sure that's longer than... Steve, were you born then? Uh-huh. Oh, you were 1 year old. They've been making firearms since Steve was 1 year old. 1 year old, baby Steve. And they're driven by creativity. They're incredibly innovative, and they just make some really cool looking stuff. Like their awesome line of tactical shotguns, the KSG, which is super sweet. It is a 12 gauge pump action shotgun. It's awesome. It's chambered for 3-inch shells. Dual tube mags, hold 6 shells in each tube, plus one chambered. But if you want the 2 3/4-inch, Even better, 7 plus 7 plus 1. So you got like 15 shells. It's pretty sweet. Patented downward shell ejection, and it's truly ambidextrous. It has a great design. Keeps all those exiting shells right out of your line of sight, so you're not getting hit with, you know, hot. You don't want hot shells flying at your face. So, and it's actually legitimately ambidextrous too. Pump release is right there in front of the trigger guard. You got quick, easy access, cross bolt safety. You got to check it out. KeltecWeapons.com, KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Michael Bloomberg tried to be like his fellow people, but he tried and failed to use a subway card. While he was campaigning in San Francisco. He was caught on video not knowing how to use the BART turnstile. And then somebody like came to his aid and said, you have to tap the thing. Tap it. Because he didn't know what to do, and it was really awkward watching that video as well. So he had no idea what was happening. MMA star, UFC champ Conor McGregor congratulates Donald Trump on 3 years as a phenomenal president. Trump had tweeted, it was 3 years ago today, January 20th, that I was sworn into office. So appropriate that today is also MLK Jr. Day. He said African-American unemployment's the lowest in the history of the country, etc. And McGregor says, phenomenal president, quite possibly the USA, and then goat emoji. Meaning GOAT, short for greatest of all time. And then he says, most certainly one of them anyways. He sits atop the shoulders of many amazing giants that came before him. No easy feat. Early stages of term also incredible. Congrats and happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, America. And I'm just waiting for just the rage mob to try to cancel the UFC's cash cow, which probably won't happen because I don't think Dana White cares. Dana White doesn't care. Also, let me pull this. Oh, wait. I got a more. This is, Bill de Blasio is looking for a real groundhog. Bill de Blasio actually killed all the groundhogs. The town couldn't get a real one for Groundhog Day, so I think they're trying to get like a fake one, which is not the same thing. Haddon Township, they wanted to have an all-day Groundhog Day festival to help predict how soon spring would arrive. And they had all the, you know, beer and fire pits and bands, but no groundhogs, and they might have to get a stuffed one. Don't let Bill de Blasio near it. Stick with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And what you said earlier, too, I wanted to go back to what you said about our left party. We don't have a left party in the United States. Mm-hmm. The Democratic Party is not a left party. Mm-hmm. The Democratic Party is a center or center conservative party. We do not advocate for, we can't even get a floor vote on Medicare for All. Mm-hmm. Not even a floor vote that gets voted down. Mm-hmm. We can't even get a vote on it. Mm-hmm. So this is not a left party. There are left members inside the Democratic Party that are working to try to make that shift happen.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, that actually is true. That's actually true. They are trying to make it happen. But see, here's the problem. They're really far left, and it's not that there aren't enough of them. They did try to make that happen, and they're successful in it. It's not that there isn't enough of them. It's that the public doesn't want it. And those are two entirely different things. Welcome back to the show. Two very different things, in fact. Being not wanting the socialism that they're offering is not the same thing as that they're not being enough socialists in the party. Mm-mm-mm. But they are growing their numbers. That is true. But for her to say, it's not like a left. Oh my gosh, what? Literally, y'all are sitting here advocating for socialism in everything but name. Come on now. Let's not fool around. Let's be honest about it, right? Just be honest about it. Good heavens. Well, it's not just, you know. Yeah, you guys are pretty left. All right, so I have what I want to call the awkward soundbite portion of the segment because it's awkward, right? For instance, let's start with audio soundbite 6. Elizabeth Warren on the campaign trail was confronted by a father who was really tired of her telling him that his bills aren't going to go up with all of the very expensive tax-financed programs she's promising. Listen to this.
My daughter's getting out of school. I saved all my money. She doesn't have any school. Am I going to get my money back?
So you're going to pay for people who didn't save any money, and those of us who did the right thing get screwed. Of course we did. My buddy had fun, bought a car, went on vacations. I saved my money. He made more than I did. But I worked a double shift, worked extra. My daughter's worth is 10. So you're laughing. Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. We did the right thing, and we get screwed.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so he's not very happy of it at all. Not very happy at all. He's not happy with it. He wasn't happy with the answers, and she really didn't know how to answer him. And then, also, Chuck Schumer. Well, nothing says I care like the white-splaining to minority communities. Listen.
America didn't want to do it for 200, 300 years, been sweeping it all under the rug. Sweeping it all under the rug, and it's still there. You know, a thing of something I tell all of my white friends. White people believe slavery is history. African Americans know we live with slavery today, every day.
How? I mean, I reject the arguments that if you do not pass all the government programs, then we're going to say that you are enslaved. But I would think that that would, isn't that the opposite though? Like if you're forced to go on government programs and the government is forcing you to work and taking your money to pay for said government programs, because that's how you have to do it. I mean, you were getting penalized. Democrats wanted to penalize you for not buying a product, for crying out loud, for not buying health insurance. Then what is it when you're not free to do what you want? You're oppressed, and when you're forced to do other things for someone else that you're not choosing to do and you're actually not getting the benefit from it? I wonder, there's words for that, similar to what Chuck Schumer was stating here. And then also, additionally, we have a few other things here. So this is Audio Soundbite 9. Joe Biden, well, just listen in his own words.
Exactly, would you detain immigrants, if at all, in a Biden administration?
The way we did when we reformed the system with the DACA, I would not retain them behind bars. They show
None
up. No, here's what they do. They show up. Sometimes you have an ankle bracelet, you set a hearing. We have to surge to the border, to the areas where people are being held. Get rid of all the cages, everybody out of prisons, be in a position where if the most you put on is an ankle bracelet, that you give a date, you're going to show up for an immigration hearing, and they show up.
Is that for children, adults and children?
Across the board.
But that's not really actually going so well right now. To end detention for it. So what are you proposing? We just allow every... There's penalties, and in every other country, there is a much, actually, more severe penalty for entering illegally, i.e. entering without proper documentation or permission. Every sovereign entity, every sovereign nation has the right to determine who can or cannot come within it, and every other country is allowed to do this. Mexico is allowed to do this. Ireland is allowed to do this. So many other countries are allowed to do this, but for some reason, the United States is not, and that's not really up for decision-making by anybody else. Yeah, what are you going to... It sounds kooky. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez like, no, we're moderate. Does all of this sound moderate to you? Does it sound like it's kind of center conservative to you? Because that's just literally what she said. We play that for you. Yeah, it's like this... We're just like, you know, sort of like center, somewhat conservative. No, it doesn't. Doesn't sound like that at all. I have a couple of others as well. This is really awkward. Audio Soundbite 21, Joy Behar. So awkward. Get ready to cringe. Do it. Do
you
it.
Can't say you're one thing and then pretend to be something else and just but give I, a point. Yeah.
I love socialists too. I've slept with several.
My God.
No one needs to know.
I married
that.
A couple.
No one needs to know any of this. We're done. Oh my gosh. We're so done. No one needs to know. Okay, boomer. No one needs to know any of this stuff. Nobody needs to know. Anyway. Yeah, it sounds. Honestly, center conservative. No, it's not what they are. All right, a couple of other things to touch on. Now, I told you tomorrow we're going to be in Vegas broadcasting from SHOT Show. This is Don't be this person. I just wanted to, I had to highlight this because I thought this was crazy. This happened in Georgetown, Texas. A family is facing a lawsuit over a playscape built on their property. Playscape. The hell's a playscape? You mean like a swing set and stuff? Now we're calling them playscapes? Who made that up? Millennials. Who made that up? Playscapes. It's a, I mean, legit, it's like a slide and it's a swing set. Swing says it swings on it. No, there's a bridge too. Technically, it's a playscape, whatever. So anyway, the lawsuit claims that Jim and Jason Costa, Kim and Jason Costa, did not submit proper plans or specifications of their playscape to the Architecture Design Review Committee of the Estrella Subdivision HOA. And they must review construction improvements prior to installation. Except Kim Costa posted on Facebook that, yeah, they actually did do that. And they had the proof of it. They did submit it to HOA and the HOA approved it. And they said that it's a 1 acre lot. They tried to get a privacy fence several times and they were denied wrought iron fences only. And they said that, so the HOA approved the playscape before it was ever installed. And they have like all of this information up on our Facebook page. And they have two kids, a little girl and a little boy. And the family got this playscape for their son, Colton, who has a terminal illness and has undergone a bone marrow transplant. And so the neighbors, they claim that the playscape brings down their property value. They said that the playscape was an eyesore. And they said that the neighbors, their one next door neighbors have been very vocal that they don't like it and they should have asked them before getting it. So apparently from what is being reported by KVUE and ABC, it's not that it wasn't approved by the HOA. It was apparently, but it's that the neighbors don't like it. The one, not plural homes, but just one home neighbor doesn't like it. And that they wanted to be consulted, apparently. And they said that they got it for their son because they wanted him to be able to have one. And they said that, you know, it makes him happy and he likes being out on it when he can. But he apparently has, I can't even pronounce this because there's so many. It's MPS1. It's a rare disease in which the body does not have enough of an enzyme to break down long chains of sugar molecules. And so as a result, the molecules build up in different parts of the body and they cause a lot of health problems. It's also known as Hurler syndrome. It affects every organ, every part of the body. Hearing loss affects vision. And ultimately, the disease, which is genetic, is fatal. And so as they're doing this, because they say the boy is not going to live past his 20s, as they're doing this, they said that their neighbors had filed suit and they're seeking damages of $100,000. What? One, and so the family that's being sued because they said they got their playscape totally approved before installation from the HOA, but the neighbor didn't like it, so the neighbor's mad. They said that, and the neighbor knows the family's story, just, you know, whatever, doesn't care. I guess they're not going through enough stress. So the family, Kim and Jason Costa, they said, you know, we want prayers for our neighbors to soften their hearts and realize how much stress this is putting on their family. I mean, they're praying for the neighbor who's suing them, for crying out loud, and that they find a resolution to the situation. So the news channel, KVUE, reached out and they got the lawsuit filed by Costa's neighbors, Richard and Carol Gottlieb. And the suit says the playscape cannot be properly screened by HOA due to the fact that it was allegedly not reviewed, except the husband submitted documentation, they say, of exactly how big it was, where it was going to go, and that, in fact, HOA approved it. And so the Gottliebs apparently filed multiple requests, and they said that they wanted basically the HOA to be torn down. And so it's going to be $100,000 that they're suing. This is the dumbest thing I have ever seen in my life. What is wrong with people? Come on. I mean, really, the playscape is, I think the attitude is more of an eyesore than a playscape, right? Good heavens. And then just people just have to you have to constantly appeal to the courts to settle disputes. I'm just shocked that these people actually had the brass to sue six figures here over a playscape that you know was not even that much. Really, I seriously doubt that your property was affected. And by the way, can I just say the playscape is like, this thing is like, it's fancy. Let's just be real. It's a fancy playscape. It's like on a mulched ground and all kinds of stuff. Most of us had swings tied to trees. So, could have been something like that. I'm just saying. But how crazy is this, right? I don't know. Did you have a swing set, Steve?
Yeah, I had one. I had one until we grew up, and then my dad dug it out and just put more land. But we had one, you know, growing up.
So let me ask you this: was it like just a swing set, or was it a playscape?
I don't know what the brand was, but it was too.
No, it's not a brand. A playscape is apparently like there's swings, and then there's also like it has a roof. Apparently,
no, ours was a little rickety.
This thing is like fancy, and it is. I mean, it's a fancy playscape, and I cannot believe. Yeah, it's very fancy. So, wow. Yeah, I legit had a swing on a tree. It's sad. So basically, the neighbors don't like it because the family says, "Yeah, it was approved. That's why we did it because we showed them." I just tend to doubt that this family would do that, would just build it and not get permission, especially if you know HOAs are very, very vigilant in making you take stuff down if it doesn't go by the regulations. But I really do hope that. And apparently, those neighbors, the Gottliebs, apparently have sued other people before, and stuff like this. Stop it. Stop it. I feel like Bob Newhart in that SNL skit. Or the guy who played, Bob Newhart. Stop it. Just stop it. You're soon over a playscape. Get right with the Lord. Good heavens. All right, we have more in store. We have Today in Stupidity on the way and all kinds of good stuff. Before we do, though, before we get rocking and moving, Patriot Mobile is not just only my thermos, but it's also my cell phone service. It is. I actually have my ice water in there right now. No, I like Patriot Mobile because no matter where I go, I get reliable nationwide coverage and great U.S.-based customer service. Like, you know, if you were going to D.C. for the March for Life coming up on Friday, 47th annual, you get totally great coverage from Patriot Mobile there. You should join the Patriot Mobile family and more than 600,000 people. If you're going to March for Life coming up in D.C., then walk with my friends at Patriot Mobile, right? If you're not going to be there, know that you can join them in fighting for your values every day. Make the switch. You're not going to see Verizon or AT&T there. They like to support Planned Parenthood. Patriot Mobile thinks that your tax dollars shouldn't be forcibly taken from you and used to basically facilitate and finance Democrat campaigns and also pay for things that you vote against whenever you go and vote. Starting at $25, Patriot Mobile plans come with unlimited talk, text, and reliable nationwide service. No hidden fees. You can visit patriotmobile.com/Dana, and when you use offer code Dana, get a free month of service. When you open a new line of service, keep your number, get a new one, bring your own phone, buy a new one, they don't care. 877-367-7524 is the number. PatriotMobile.com/Dana. Offer code Dana.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Senate going back and forth over impeachment, and they're trying to figure out the rules package and all of that stuff, and they could have a closed Senate session at some point, meaning that lawmakers would just tell everyone to go, and then it's just the president's legal team and the said impeachment managers. So, who knows how long this is going to go? Although McConnell did change the rules for 8 hours for 3 days instead of 12 hours for 2 days. So that's what we have now. As I said, tomorrow I'm going to be broadcasting from Vegas for SHOT Show, and you will obviously still be able to stream and all of that stuff. I'm not going to have cameras there, so I'm not going to be TV wise. That weren't able to make that happen, but you will be able to stream in here and all that good stuff in the meantime. All right, so as we get moving on, I know we got Today in Stupidity. I'm going to save this cut of Buttigieg for tomorrow because it's funny. It's just me kind of because his laugh was goofy. But in the meantime, Steve, Today in Stupidity.
All right. So obviously yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and a lot of people were using that opportunity to electioneer and make the case for black voters. And Chuck Schumer didn't really need to do that, but he decided to make a bold statement anyways. Over
America didn't want to do it for 200, 300 years, been sweeping it all under the rug. Sweeping it all under the rug, and it's still there. You know, a thing of something I tell all of my white friends. White people believe slavery is history. African Americans know we live with slavery today, every day.
Schumer. That's awkward. He's an awkward person. Oh, goodness. All right. So, folks, we will have all of the latest on impeachment still. We'll still follow that all throughout the week. And we have a lot of really cool stuff planned for you as well. Some really good guests and some good discussions that'll be coming down the pike. So you can have all of that as well. DanaRadio.com, DanaLash.com, official Dana Lash on Facebook. And find me on YouTube as well, because a lot of the interviews and certain segments and stuff we have uploaded there. Sometimes I also put it up on DanaLash.com. So have a great night, and I'll be back with you tomorrow from Vegas.
The Dana Show.